Welcome to Love Quirks, the relationship and love podcast about sparking your connections and understanding the big picture of love. If you're neurospicy, kind of quirky, or just a regular old human wanting to spark your relationships with more connection, more love, more acceptance, and more understanding, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Crystal Clark. Join my quirky crew on your journey to being sparked forever, because no one is normal and all love quirks. Welcome to our love space today. Last episode, so episode 15, we left off with the exciting question of what would it be like to have a partner to collaborate with, to partner with, rather than parent? Wow, what a fantastic question. What a wonderful thing to envision what that would be like, what it would be like to have someone that you felt was equal and on the same page as you, and that you're working toward something together. What would that be like for you? How would that feel? What would your experiences be like? How would that improve your communication and your affection and the way you view each other and your perspective for each other and the energy that you have to give that other person? It would tune all of those things up. How could we say it couldn't, right? Well, when you're in that parenting space, or that parenting energy, it traps, you know, let's think about that, the C in our cake. Let's think about that communication piece first. It really traps our messages into everything being about, you know, things being done wrong or incorrectly, right? It's all of that corrective and, you know, feedback and nagging and reprimanding tone that comes out in our messages. So not only is it always just corrective or nagging feedback, but it also comes out in that tone of voice. It also comes out in that forcefulness of control. So that really throws our communication off. And our brains love to make sense of things. Now, this might not be so much for some of our neurospicy people out there, but for a big majority of us, our brains love to make sense of things by grouping and categorizing things together and making smart guesses about things that are going to happen in the future. And our brains do this sort of without even us knowing this. And this is so that they can make sense of things and make a big picture of things. And when our brain is making a big picture of things with communication, right? And this is almost like the idea of impressions. You know, I've spent many, many years teaching kids and even actually adults about how impressions are made and formed and maintained with each other in social situations. And this is the exact same thing. Because the big picture means that if your spouse is sending you lots of this negative and corrective, or lots of these negative and corrective messages, all right, our brain eventually is going to just start jumping ahead. Eventually, it just starts to automatically slot all of these messages into that parenting category, into that nagging category, into wherever your brain has decided this unpleasant experience is going. It is slotting all of the messages from that person. So all of the messages from your spouse into that category. Or if we're the ones doing the parenting, just know all of your messages eventually, if you've been parenting too long, if you've been parenting your partner for too long, that all of your messages are getting slotted in to that corrective feedback. So that means even when you are sending a neutral or an okay, or even a nicely intended message, you're even sending a compliment or being like, wow, I can't believe you did this. It is being received in that wrong category. It's being received in that negative, corrective, nagging category. Okay. So, right? That makes it very difficult. We can see then how this is easily starts to affect also, our kindfulness with each other. We can even see how it starts to affect our kindfulness with each other. So that even when we've done that nice thing or that thoughtful thing or, whatever, the parenting and the child lens is being used to view everything. Right? So we're not using that kindful lens. If we're parenting our spouse, they're not using their kindful lens towards us as seeing us as a spouse. They're using their lens to see us as a parent because there's been so much of this dynamic going on that they're now viewing us that everything they say is a nag or a you're wrong or a I didn't like this or whatever, right? And if you're the spouse that's doing the parenting, you might even start to view all of their actions in a like, they just can't do anything right kind of lens, right? In that, or I always have to correct them, or I always have to help them, or I always have to adult for them. You're viewing all of their actions through that lens. And if these are the lenses being used in your relationship, then it's going to be really difficult, really very difficult to show affection to each other, to show affection with the, to have that back and forth of affection with each other, to have that A in our cake, right? So first it's affecting our communication. Those are the messages, right? It usually affects that part first when we get into these unequal dynamics in relationship. And then it slides into how we see each other, that perspective taking, which is kind of jumping ahead in our cake to the K. But then it slides into our affection, our A part, right? So, it's going to be difficult to show affection in a romantic way, right? In a love of your life way to that person. If, your energy, if your dynamic is between a petulant teenager and a controlling parent, right? If that's where you are in your dynamic, how are you going to be romantic with each other, right? It makes a lot of, there's going to be a lot of that energy of you should be grateful that I'm doing this for you. And a lot of, and then to counter that, you don't understand me, sort of like teenage, you don't understand my teenager self kind of dynamic, right? That's going to make the affection dry up. Who wants to hold hands or have sex or make out when that? Right? Who wants to do that when that kind of energy is going on? When you're like, you don't understand me. And the other person's like, you should be so thankful and glad that I do this for you. Oh my gosh, we don't want that. We can't come together physically, right? We can't come together and fill up each other's emotional cups if those are the two sides that we're coming from. That's not a yin and yang of an active and passive energy that we were kind of talking about in part one of this podcast. That's more of like a either a passive-passive or an active-active coming together, right? And actually my description is probably more of an active-active. But you can't grow that affection with each other if that is your dynamic. What you really want is that partner energy, right? What you really want is that dynamic of that energy, that of that rather than that teenager, like you don't understand me, and the parent, you should be so grateful, is you really want that you understand me, you accept me, you know me, you support me, we're on the same page. We're sharing values, right? Lots of times, parents and teenagers or parents and kids don't get along because they're on different values pages, right? But with your partner, you want to be like, I understand your values. And maybe, maybe your values with each other are like a Venn diagram and they don't all overlap, but there should be some core ones that do. And when you explore those and find those, then you're like, yes, I'm supported. So how are we going to get to that energy, to that dynamic of you understand me, you accept me, you know me, we're sharing values, we're on the same page, we're walking together on the same path. No one's being dragged down a path. How are we going to get there? Well, first, we really need to broach the topic with our partner. So whether you are the person who's realizing like, oh my gosh, oh, what the F, I've been parenting, this is not good, and that's why things are off. If you're coming from that, or if you're the person who's like, oh, you know, this is why I feel so petulant. This is why I get on all these like little tantrums and I go like, just let me do it. This is why I don't like to listen. It's because I'm being parented. It's because I'm the child in this dynamic. Oh no. Whatever it is, whichever side you're coming from, the first part is going to be to broach that topic. Okay. So to say something, and for some of you who are ready and who are feeling brave and are ready to be vulnerable, you can say something as straightforward as, hey, our dynamic is off here. It doesn't feel like we are partnering. I want to be partnering with you. Now, here's the important part. That note is there. I didn't label anyone's actions as parenting. Now, I guess if you are the person who's recognizing that you are parenting, you could throw that in there. You could be extra vulnerable and be like, dude, this is what I feel I've been doing. But sometimes when we start to label things when we're just opening up the topic and we're just starting to think about how to tweak things, that's scary and that's uncomfortable for everyone. Whether you're the person admitting that you have maybe been doing some oopses and not, you know, thinking about the energy you're putting in, or whether you're the person kind of hearing your spouse open up this topic of conversation, it's uncomfortable and weird and scary for everyone. And so sometimes if we label things too directly, this makes people feel more scared and more uncomfortable. And what we tend to do when we are more scared and more uncomfortable is we tend to get defensive. And if our dynamic is off, you know, we have to remember that both people have played a part in creating that dynamic, that no one stopped earlier and said, oh, what's going on here, right? That, you know, and sometimes it's a slippery slope sometimes, or sometimes it's like the, you know, the frog in the boiling water story. So sometimes it's a dynamic that grows over time and it's like, oops, how did we even get here? But let's not put up those defenses. Let's not twig some things that might get those defenses up accidentally. So we can just say, hey, it feels like we're not partnering. It feels like we're not collaborating. It feels like we're on a tug of war with each other. How are we going to get onto the same side? Okay. So let's envision what that positive collaborative communication is going to sound like and is going to be like, and where it's going to go from there, rather than worrying about labels and what part everyone's playing and whatnot, okay, at the beginning. And you don't even necessarily ever have to touch on that. If you've recognized that your dynamics are off, they're just off and let's move forward, right? And I know for some of our personalities out there, and for some of our the way some of our brains work, that just moving forward works better. Right? That the actual, like some of us, like I'm a very much a verbal processor. So for me, actually going back and talking about it does help me let go of it and get over it. But there's a lot of people who are not like that, and they don't actually need to rehash the same thing two or three or four times and verbally go through it. And for them, it's better to move on forward. So let's think about that forward motion. You can also open up the topic with something like, you know, if you want to get a bit, you know, more in depth, or you want more support, or you want to make it more fun, you can say like, hey, I heard some couples are doing these card activities and it would be fun to try. And I will actually, for the values, my favorite values card pack, I will put a link on my TikTok and Instagram, Sparked Forever on Instagram and at Sparked underscore forever on TikTok. And you can find the link for those, or probably also in the show notes, you'll be able to find the link. Anywho, yeah, so we can try this fun activity and then you can get the values cards and then you can go through them. And it's really just a sorting activity as you each kind of sort through them and say, like, ah, this is important, this is important. And what's going to happen usually with most people, because they're all nice things, right? All the values are nice, is that you'll probably end up with half the deck in your this is an important values to me pile. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go through it again. And then you're going to go through it again until you get down to about 5 to 7 values. That's like a lot for anyone to keep track of. So, anywho, so you can open it up with that. You can also book some, value sessions with me. You can be like, hey, actually, yeah, it's not counseling. It's not anything scary. We're gonna go, it's like this fun growth activity, right? It's this fun personal development thing. Cool. Whatever you like, however you're gonna broach this topic, that's step one. You need to broach it. Okay, so you need to put that message out there. The next piece is going to be about using your kindful lens. So this is a little bit more personal. You can't boss the other person, right? We have to be careful. You're not going to boss them in choosing the kindful lens. You can talk about it once the conversation is open. You can be like, hey, I've heard about this thing in this thing called the CAKE model. And the K is for kindfulness, and that is looking at each other in the most kindful way possible, and being mindful and present and in the moment. But for your own personal lens, these are the things I want you to think about. So you're going to think about, one of the reasons that this comes up is, like I said, a misalignment of values or not thinking about our values, or that maybe we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, or we're trying to do whatever. Really, there's something about the situation where we're now trying to change our spouse. We're now trying to change that person. So we're going to reframe this. Okay. And we're going to have a kindful lens towards each other's adulting abilities. Everyone has grown up in different houses. Everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses. Everyone has their parts of their brain that are like high-speed internet, and everyone has parts of their brain that are dial-up internet. And maybe between you and your spouse, those parts are opposite. Maybe there's some overlap in your high speed, and some overlap in your dial-up, but maybe they're different, right? And we're going to be kindful of those differences, right? We're going to, be kindful about how we see their approaches to things in life. We're going to be kindful about the processes they use, right? Most of us don't fall madly in love with each other, thinking, oh, this person is an absolute mess and I'll have to fix them, and they would be a useless drain on society if I wasn't here to keep them in line. Right? Have any of you out there fallen in love with those thoughts in your head? If you have, maybe that's not your LOL then. But most of us don't fall in love that way, right? And for sure, when we're first getting to know someone, we might not all know all these aspects and facets about them, but I bet they actually were showing up, and we just had a more kindful lens about it. Okay. And that's because, like, hiccups happen and life consequences happen. And maybe the person's reactions at certain points, maybe, or our own reactions, led to certain hiccups or certain things that like made things a bit more blah. That's just part of life. Hindsight is 2020. No one's ever making all 100% the perfect choices, right? And we're going to, maybe those hiccups made us stop trusting our spouse at some point, or putting less trust into them, and then we started doing more controlling or more changing, and then that makes even less trust because now we're in a tug of war of sorts rather than, on the same team. So that's what we want to do, is we want to start using our kindful lens. Okay. And that means probably the next step is going to be to build up that trust back. Okay, with that person, because that's what started us probably in that tug of war, right? Is that loss of trust, that loss in belief that I think they can adult equally to my adulting. Okay, so we all know that we can build up trust, and then it will start to build up our affection again if we are willing to be vulnerable. And if you missed out on that episode, go back to episode 9. I think it's called Vulnerability is the new V, or new V for Valentine's Day or something like that. Something. Anyways, it's episode 9. And we go in depth about vulnerability in there and how you can use it in your relationship. So go back and have a listen at that. But the other thing we can do is we can also label instances where we are giving the person our trust, even if they're stupid, small, tiny things, because it's those stupid, small, tiny things that get us in these weird dynamics after years and years and years of being in a relationship with each other, right? We always tend to think like it's the big things that break people up or make or cause people to be in unhappy relationships, but it's actually not. It's the buildup of these small things that we don't tweak and adjust along the way. And then all of a sudden we're like in this ditch, right? Of miscommunication and unhappiness and misunderstanding and parenting our partner, whatever's going on, right? And so I want you to try to label even the tiny small times that you are trusting your partner. So I'll give you a very simple example, because you can even say, okay, this is how you could label it. You guys maybe are making a joint dinner together. This happens in our house because, we have different cooking skill sets. So sometimes if we have a group of people over, another couple over for dinner, I will take care of, kind of like the appy sides dessert portion. And my partner is just amazing at the main course meat sort of portion. We balance each other out that way, which is really lucky. And it's super lucky for me because I love foods. But anyways, you can even say something like, I want to tell you how to cook that chicken. I want to give you my great adulting advice on how to cook that chicken, but I am holding back. I am going to trust you and I am going to enjoy, this is also important, however you choose to do it. Even if they end up burning the chicken, do you know what? That's not an I told you so moment. That's not a whatever moment. That's actually probably a moment to laugh at, where it's like, ha, isn't this hilarious? Where I made the effort to label this and then it didn't really turn out right. But it's okay. It's okay, because every once in a while, everyone's going to burn some chicken. And do you know what? We can all laugh at it. We can all laugh at it. No, remember, no one is perfect. No one is perfect, right? We have that episode about listing, like if you can list like, the 10 things you love about your partner versus the things that annoy them, right? We remember in that episode that no one is perfect. Everyone has their quirks. Okay. So back on track, we're going to label it, right? Because that person, they're putting effort into cooking that chicken and you're putting effort in to not bossing and nagging them and parenting them. So perfect. We're all putting in some energy into being more kindful towards each other, into being more on the same page with each other. Then at another time, like if you really hate the way that not the process that they use to cook the chicken, but you're like, I really hate breaded chicken, or I don't like chicken parmesan, blech, yuck, whatever it is. Not in that moment. Later on, when you're like, hey, let's do some meal planning, or let's think about what we're going to make this week. Oh, do you know what? I don't really love breaded chicken. Do you think when you make the chicken this week that you could choose something else than breaded chicken, right? It's the process is not your concern when they're doing their own adult job, right? It's the finished product. Did I get a lovely chicken dinner? Okay. Right? So you're going to label when you're going outside your comfort zone for trust and for letting go, because that's going to highlight it. And that's going to help you come together and help you guys both know that you're working on it. So another example of this, just in my personal life, is sometimes I can be an interrupter, being a bonus mom and someone who's worked a lot with kids, when my partner is sometimes doing the parenting piece, like we're teaching a lesson on this, we're giving a helpful speech about this, or we're giving advice about this. In my brain, because I'm so used to doing this, and I'm actually have a lot of experience doing parent coaching and parent support with families, is my little brain just goes on fire and it wants to jump in with so many points. Okay, but We have had conversations that me jumping in with points, I think we're like tag teaming in and out, and it's a super great dynamic. He feels that I distract his train of thought and that he can't get through the points he wants to get, and that I'm taking over. And that's fair enough. It's fair enough for us to have those two perspectives. Neither one is right or wrong. They are both true. They're both true in that moment of what I think I'm doing and what he wants to do. Okay. So now I try so hard, I try my best to sit back and zip it when he is doing his parenting moment, because his parenting moments are important to his relationship with his children and to our relationship together and to our relationship as a whole family, right? So I now try to sit back and zip it. And when he's done his parenting moment, and maybe the kids have wandered off and whatnot, we will usually have an exchange, and he'll be like, and he's got really good at being like, "Thank you for not interrupting me." And I go, "Oh my gosh, you are welcome. There were so many times I wanted to, but I really held back." And he goes, "Cool." Right? So he knows that I'm trying, and I know that he's appreciating the trying. So by labeling those things, by talking about them, by having them out in the open, you both get to see that that each other is working on it, right? So and that each other is trying to grow together to make that partnership and those collaborative moments even better, right? Okay. So just to recap, because that I know was tons of information today, that number one, if we've discovered our dynamic is off, we are going to open up the topic that of the fact that we want to be partnering, we want to be collaborating. That is where we want to go. We want to move there. Okay. Two, we are going to purposefully use our kindful lens and remind ourselves, okay, that we are equal adults, that both of our brains work in a wonderful and beneficial way, and that we can collaborate together. And three, we are going to start building up that trust again, perhaps by showing vulnerability and 100% by labeling it and just being open about sharing when we are trusting each other. Because if we do these things, we will be partnering together instead of parenting. And partnering is what's going to keep us sparked. Thanks to my quirky crew for sharing this space and your connection time with me once again. It's really, truly appreciated. If you're new here, I hope this time sparked your love and relationship energy too, and that you'll be joining us again. If something sparked you today, connected with you, delighted you, do reach out, find me on TikTok at sparked_forever or through my website, sparkedforever.com. To get your free copy of Cake Night, your mini guide to making date night sweeter. Don't forget to send some love out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Not only does this send me some love, but it helps others find us on their relationship journey. Until next time, be sparked.